The summer theater was on a pier that jutted off from the boardwalk over the sand. Sometimes, when there was a storm and the tide was unusually high, the actors could hear the soft swish of water underneath the stage, and the assistant stage manager, one of whose duties was to sweep the stage, was always in a rage at the sand which blew up between the floorboards and through the canvas floorcloth, so that 10 minutes after he had swept, there would be a soft white dust over everything. On the warm summer nights after the curtain had come down on the evening's performance, the actors would hurry out of costume and makeup and stroll down the boardwalk, stopping for ice cream or Cokes, or drifting into town where there were restaurants and nightclubs. The apprentices, who served as ushers, would walk along in their bright summer evening clothes, and in the ice cream parlors would talk loudly of the evening's performance and of the problems of acting, so that everybody would know that they belonged to the theater. Sometimes, if Elizabeth had received a tip, she would go with the other apprentices. Sometimes she would walk into town to a midnight movie with Ben Walton, the assistant stage manager, who was also an apprentice actor. But usually she stayed backstage, doing odd jobs for any of the professional actors who needed anything, waiting for a word or a gesture from Kurt Kanitz. Kurt Kanitz was the director at the theater, but occasionally he would take a role that appealed to him, and then he would have Elizabeth cue him. When he grew tired of that, he would say, "I'm sick of working. Come and talk with me, Elizabeth." And then he would take her to the restaurant in his hotel, the Ambassador, and talk to her for hours about the theater, about the productions he had directed on Broadway, about Elizabeth's own talent as an actress. "I have never lived before," Elizabeth thought. "Until this summer, I did not know what it was to be alive." One Friday night in the beginning of August, Kurt, his face smeared with grease paint and cold cream, said, "Elizabeth, I want to talk to you. Go wait for me on the old boardwalk." The old boardwalk was about 100 feet closer to the ocean than the regular boardwalk. It had long ago been washed away and consisted now of perhaps a dozen barnacled piles sticking haphazardly up out of the sand. Elizabeth climbed onto one of the piles and sat facing the ocean. She had on the full, long, yellow dirndl skirt and peasant blouse she had worn for ushering, and the sand had come in through her sandals and settled between her toes. The tide was coming in, and small, precocious waves crept closer and closer to her. From farther down the beach came the sound of two recorders playing a duet, and the delicate notes of an old English madrigal floated up to her, so faint and so blown by the wind that the music seemed to be part of the night, one with the lapping of the small waves against the piles, the roar of the breakers muted in the quiet night, rather than a sound produced by two human beings blowing into wooden pipes. Behind her and up the boardwalk, Elizabeth could still hear voices from the theater, stragglers from the audience standing around on the boardwalk talking, members of the company coming out of the stage door and discussing plans for the evening. Elizabeth raised her head as a voice called, "Elizabeth Gerald, is that you?" She tried to keep the disappointment that it wasn't Kurt out of her voice as she called back, "Hi, Ben, where are you off to?" Ben dropped off the boardwalk and clambered up onto the pile next to Elizabeth. "Hey, the tide's coming in." "I know it is." He turned and tried to look at her face, which was only a pale shadow in the starlight. "Come on down the boardwalk to Lukey's and have a hamburger with me." "I'm broke." "I'll treat you," Ben said, still trying to read her expression. "I can't." She put her head down on her knees. "Waiting for Kanitz?" There was a trace of anger in Ben's voice. She nodded. "Listen, Elizabeth," he said, "maybe I'm the last person to speak to you about this, but I've been around and I just want to tell you, you're riding for a fall." "Anything else you wanted to say?" Elizabeth asked him. "Nope. Where do you suppose Jane and John Peter dug up those recorders? That melancholy stuff they're playing's bad for my mood. My gosh, the divine Sarah Courtmont stank tonight, didn't she? She blew her lines twice." Ben reached down the length of his immensely long, immensely thin legs, took off one of his shoes, and shook out the sand, almost losing his balance and toppling off the pile. I don't know why that dame thinks she can act, he muttered, as he managed to put the shoe back on without falling. I'm not a big fan of hers either, but most of the kids think she's magnificent, Elizabeth said, looking surreptitiously at the luminous hands of her watch. It was almost midnight.